I'm Mark Franklin, practice leader of a team of professional career counselors at careercycles.com and founder of One Life Tools. I'm pleased to be your host today on Career Buzz, Canada's unique podcast conversation that enriches lives, empowers careers, and energizes organizations. Cancer strikes without prejudice, and people from all walks of life and within all levels of the cancer community can be united in a common goal of coping with this life-altering event. People living with cancer can and do play a significant and powerful role in their own journeys. Kim Adlert has firsthand experience witnessing how involvement impacts experience, and involvement starts with developing awareness of what's out there, what's available in terms of support, services, programs, and activities. This led Kim to found One Access Space, a searchable online resource that provides people living with cancer information regarding available supports and services. Kim Adlert joins me live in studio. Welcome to Career Buzz, Kim.
Thank you, Mark. It's really great to be here today.
Can you take us back? You were diagnosed at a certain point, and that's going to, well, it's going to affect you personally, and
right,
it's going to affect your work situation. So what happened?
Oh, for sure. So in the summer of 2010, I was very shockingly and suddenly diagnosed with Ph-positive acute lymphoblastic leukemia, which is a very high-risk blood cancer. And what came with that was over 2.5 years of intensive treatment, which included chemo, chemotherapy, cranial radiation, just a number of different procedures. And it also included a trip to the ICU, unfortunately, when I sustained a sepsis infection that actually nearly killed me. So needless to say, I was very low functioning for those 2.5 years. And for for a significant time to following that as well, as I started embracing my recovery and kind of having many moments of what the hell just happened. So within all of that, I was unable to work, and sort of add insult to injury, my employer of a number of years actually dissolved my position while I was in active treatment.
Well, how does it work? What actually happened when you got the diagnosis and then something was going to happen with treatment and you're going to have to be away mm-hmm. from work? How did that work? How did you communicate that at first to your employer?
With the acute leukemia I had, I needed to be hospitalized right away for a month. So I needed to leave my life as I knew it immediately to live at Princess Margaret Hospital for a month. Otherwise, I would have died. So that's basically the response to that particular cancer. Not all cancers are have that scenario.
So when that happened, in the month needed to happen really
immediately,
quickly.
And then the 2.5 years proceeded after.
So what was the first reaction from your employer?
Well, our organization was actually going through a little bit of transition at that point, and it was a small organization. So from sort of a peer-to-peer, my work peers were very supportive, and I think I was in disbelief. It's really shocking when it's almost like an accident, basically, that you have to respond to very quickly, like a life-threatening accident. Like, you don't really have time to process. You
yes.
just have to kind of act. So for me, I was very much in the mode of having to do and having to act on certain pieces, and cancer treatment became my full-time job. On the employer's perspective, I think they were experiencing the same, because, in terms of being in reactive mode, because they had to cover off a staff role that was very, key within the organization, and they had to do it very quickly. So, and I, it certainly has a domino effect. Cancer has a domino effect on not just the individual who's dealing with the diagnosis, but definitely on friends and family and workplace.
For sure.
And all of our involvements.
Was there some sort of disability insurance?
I had some health benefits, but I didn't have that sort of access, like LTD and short term. So then you need to kind of jump into the land of exploring income replacement supports. For me, I actually had to access all my life savings and retirement funds, and all of that just got completely wiped out.
So you had to personally find
personally,
that.
That's right. In terms of living costs, right? We're, gratefully living in Canada, where we have, a healthcare system that, you know, is more supportive than other places in the world, let's
that,
say.
That and country to the south of us,
right, yeah,
example.
Exactly. And, you know, so, I mean, there's that, but there's still, you know, cancer has a, you know, really far-reaching impacts.
Yes. So you said a few minutes ago, you actually said that the employer eventually dissolved your position. Now what happened there?
I went in one morning, was advised that my position was dissolved. Like that. And this was after a number of years of working with this organization. So I'm going to be careful with how I speak about it, but I did go through a little bit of a legal process. But I was also still ill and still in treatment. Even though I had tried to return to work part-time, I was in sort of a softer version of my protocol, which was still pretty darn harsh.
How far into it was that?
It was about the year and a half, the second year, where I had gone into sort of a maintenance therapy phase, where I was still actually getting hooked up with actual chemo medication and but, you know, wanting to re-engage. There's a concept in the cancer world called BCAC, which is before cancer and after cancer. And the greatest challenge for me, I think, is letting go of the BC, what was, right? You know, but at that time, I really, really wanted to get back to my life.
Kim, well, it sounds like that must have been quite a surprise. First of all, your reaction when you get back to work after all this treatment and you're advised that your position is no longer there. What reaction did you have, and your workmates, your peers?
Yeah. It was really shocking. I went through, array of different emotions, anger, and also there was a part of me, because the organization was changing and I was changing clearly in terms of becoming kind of in touch with, you know, what was meaningful for me, what kind of environment I wanted to be in, what was supportive for me. So that had really changed as well, really honing into, paying attention to that, and also self-care, which is, you know, just an ongoing learning process for me. And so at that point, it was sort of, well, if this is a value or lack of values with this organization, do I really want to be here anyway? But I wanted to make that choice. It's always more challenging. And that's always more challenging. And it's really hard to look for work when you're going through treatment for cancer.
I bet.
So I definitely just took some time at that point. So I was forced into another change that I, you know, didn't want to be coping with, but tried to draw some positives out of that.
And was there any explanation that the employer gave for the
restructuring, basically?
Just that.
Yeah.
What can you share with listeners about the legal aspects of this kind of situation, if somebody does get sick, and how long does their position need to be maintained for, and what did you discover?
So it really varies. So I was offered sort of a settlement package that seemed inferior to me, and after consulting with legal counsel, was definitely not what was fair, what ended up being a little fairer. But the challenge is, when you're sick, you only have so much fight in you. So, and we all know these legal proceedings, when going through a process with an employer, how much time, energy, and money that can take. So you need to kind of make a decision for yourself how far you're willing to go. And, you know, at that point, I needed funding for my, you know, self to live. I only had a certain amount of physical capacity to, you know, move forward. So you need to kind of figure out, you know, the right decision for yourself when you're moving through a process like that. You know, I in no way feel like an expert, but I did what was right for me at the time, you know, and reflecting, I wish I was able to do more, because if I step out of this scenario, I just, you know, there's just, it's a whole bunch of unethical stuff going on there, you know? So, you know, if I was to help somebody, if I was in a different role of helping, I, you know, would have acted in a, you know, maybe a little bit more of an aggressive manner, just because it was just not cool to do that to people, especially when they're sick.
Yeah, not beyond not cool. Like, I've heard some other stories, and I'm not an expert at it, but I've heard stories, especially where people do have insurance coverage, and you know, a long-term disability may keep you away from work, but the position is meant to stay open until such time as the insurance company may negotiate something with you. So you know, now that you've been working with others who've experienced cancer, mm-hmm. have you learned about other workplace either laws or at least guidelines?
Yeah, I mean, you hear it all, right? Like the good, you hear wonderful examples of really caring employers who really work with the employee and, you know, do workplace modifications. And, you know, and I think that might be, you know, I could be wrong, but might be a little easier with larger organizations where you can kind of find another fit for an individual, if not in their role, depending on what their responsibilities are. And maybe there's more of a longevity to that in terms of, you know, it not just, you know, somebody needs to work in that capacity for a number of years, depending on, you know, what they're living with. So I think it's really all over the map. And then I've heard absolute horror stories as well. And like even, you know, just, you know, even worse than mine, I guess, you know, I don't want to seem like I'm having too much of a pity party today at all. Life is good, you know, but I mean, it, you know, I've definitely come out of some, you know, shadowy places,
yes.
I guess.
Well, you're laughing now, but I'm sure there were some really tough parts of the story for yours and other people who you've met along
sure.
the way.
Certainly.
So just jumping now to those resources that might be available if listeners are affected by cancer or other health scares, or they know people in their workplace, their family, what should people know about? What's out there now, and how do you hope to expand on that?
Yeah. Well, hopefully our toolkit will be out there soon. So there's a little plug and more to follow on that as we progress. So the toolkit that I've been it's been a really amazing experience to be involved with as a co-author, so hopefully that'll be published, and that is to help sort of bring somebody living with cancer with their self-exploration through new vocational directions for somebody who's not already attached to an employer. And I think in Canada there's definitely some work on the horizon. So the Canadian Partnership Against Cancer will have a sort of a work in cancer initiative brewing and soon to be released. But there's also some really amazing international resources. So Cancer and Careers, based out of New York, they're absolutely amazing, very focused, working with people living with cancer on a whole. It's an absolute employment resource.
Wow. Is that a website?
Yeah, right. So
cancerandcareers.org,
I think. But Google it.
Yeah.
Google it. That's my answer for everything. Google it. And a wonderful resource out of the UK called Working with Cancer. And Working with Cancer is a social enterprise founded by Barbara Wilson, who is a cancer survivor and an HR professional. And she's also a fellow graduate of the School for Social Entrepreneurs, which I was fortunate enough to attend a little while ago and recently graduated. So
nice. And your own resource, One Access Space.
Mm-hmm.
So that's coming on. I know you have oneaccess.ca.
That's right.
What are the plans for that?
Oh, it's sort of a, I guess I, you know, it's a key piece of learning for me right now is actually learning the balance, right? So One Access Space is a slow process, but I'd like to say a slow but mindful process. So it's early stage, but stay tuned and hopefully we'll get all the pieces in place so I can launch hopefully in the next year or so.
Right on. And just in a minute, Kim, you know, given your personal experience with the twists and turns in your career and life, what have you can share with listeners? One thing that you can share about how to make good career and life decisions, especially when surprising things hit you?
Sure. I think the biggest piece for me is learning acceptance and letting go of wanting to go back. So I think that's a challenging learning for me. You know, letting go of the, I used to be able to do this and make this amount of money, I notice just does not serve me well. And sort of more, you know, looking to, you know, being lit up by reinvention, possibilities, and that life can be quite an adventure, even through the harsher times.
Right on. Great advice. I know you brought a piece of music here. Do you want to just set it up briefly for us?
Sure. Thanks, Mark. So this is a piece called My Heart is in the West, and it was written and performed by a good friend of mine, Christine Gades. And the song is basically about, I guess, sort of a love of life and acceptance of what will be, and sort of making peace with all of our personal dimensions Christine recently actually passed away from complications due to cancer, but she affirmed for me what is possible in the face of very difficult odds, and how important it is to connect with what lights us up in life and in work.
Right on. Thanks, Kim Adlard, for joining us here
on
Career
Mark.
Buzz. Here is Christine Gades.
Thank you for listening to the Career Buzz podcast. Find us on iTunes or visit careercycles.com/radio to subscribe and download past episodes. Get inspiring career stories full of twists and turns, actionable ideas from career experts, and new ideas to empower your own career in life.